It is morning here, so there's no news to speak of yet. But there will be. It's clear as crystal that the root of all evil is exactly that. And those in whom it is blooming are the enemy of humanity.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Maybe having too much pride is bad, but you should at least have some. And it can't be healthy to look at oneself in the mirror and not recognize your own image. It's got to be limits to compromise, and ain't nothing wise about worshiping mammon. I'd rather risk poverty and famine than not know that the ground on which I'm standing is clear. And God and fear can't occupy the same space, and the thorough don't compromise their principles for fame's sake. This game is played about more than the checks you collect, because no matter how much you get, you're still going to have to subtract any loss of self-respect. And me ain't just me. I'm the self I always was. And whatever being my real self does is all I need to have. The overexposed divide more than they add, and the ones who gross the most tend to net nothing but laughs. Walking paths, mired in fire and brimstone, hired by snakes to take more than their fair share. There ain't no one in VIP who could re-bestow your soul. Ain't no head, ain't no blow, ain't no coming to blows that can help you get it back once you decide to relinquish your control. How you gonna depend on the heartless to be open-hearted? If he destroys lives for a living, he ain't giving you nothing but a hard way to go. You better move like you know. This world ain't got no special sympathy for fools, and the price of being an idiot is becoming the next man's tool. You living in diamond and platinum times. Who you think trying to stay in line with your golden rule? There's only responsibilities and resources and inner peace and outside forces and three eyes and inside voices, and the choices you make determine whether you're living in heaven or hell. And the definition of a sellout is somebody who ain't figured out what not to sell. See, you can't live off pride alone, but being dehumanized ain't living, and the demoralized are unforgiven. It's better to be broke with some options than some sadistic rich person's victim. And long before them boys said stick 'em, everybody been trying to live fat, but they want to rock diamonds in the club sipping Ace of Spades. But when you strong hearted, you ain't got to worry about that. Have some pride.
Recently, the most notable public questions that have concerned us all have had to do with industry and labor. And with respect to these, certain developments have taken place that I consider of great importance. I'm happy to report that after years of uncertainty, culminating in the collapse of the spring of 1933, we are bringing order out of the old chaos. We are bringing order out of the old chaos.
Chaos. And order, but we...
Order.
Chaos.
Order.
Chaos.
Order out of the old chaos.
Chaos. And order.
We are bringing order out of the old chaos.
Order out of chaos, but we will.
With a greater certainty of the employment of labor at a reasonable wage, and of more business at a fair profit. These governmental and industrial developments hold promise of new achievements for the nation. Men may differ as to the particular form of governmental activity with respect to industry and business, but nearly all men are agreed that private enterprise in times such as these cannot be left without assistance and without reasonable safeguards, lest it destroy not only itself, but also our processes of civilization. The underlying necessity for such activity is indeed as strong now as it was years ago, when Elihu Root said the following very significant words. Instead of the give and take of free individual contracts, the tremendous power of organization has combined great aggregations of capital in enormous industrial establishments working through vast agencies of commerce and employing great masses of men in movements of production and transportation and trade, so great in the mass that each individual concerned in them is quite helpless by himself. The relations between the employer and the employed, between the owners of aggregated capital and the units of organized labor, between the small producer, the small trader, the consumer, and the great transporting and manufacturing and distributing agencies, all present new questions for the solution of which the old reliance upon the free action of individual wills appears quite inadequate. And in many directions, the intervention of that organized control which we call government seems necessary to produce the same result of justice and right conduct which obtained through the attrition of individuals before the new conditions arose. It was in this spirit, thus described by Secretary Root, that we approached our task of reviving private enterprise in March 1933. And our first problem was, of course, the banking situation. Because, as you know, the banks had collapsed. Some banks could not be saved, but the great majority of them, either through their own resources or with government aid, have been restored to complete public confidence. This has given safety to millions of depositors in these banks. Closely following this great constructive effort, we have, through various federal agencies, saved debtors and creditors alike in many other fields of enterprise, such as loans on farm mortgages and home mortgages, loans to the railroads and insurance companies, and finally, help for homeowners and for industry itself. In all of these efforts, the government has come to the assistance of business, and with the full expectation that the money used by the government to assist these enterprises will eventually be repaid. I believe it will be. The second step we have taken in the restoration of normal business enterprise has been to clean up thoroughly unwholesome conditions in the field of investment. In this, we have had assistance from many bankers and businessmen, most of whom recognize the past evils in the banking system, evils in the sale of securities, evils in the deliberate encouragement of stock gambling, evils in the sale of unsound mortgages.
Evil has found a willing servant.
Evils in many other ways in which the public lost literally billions of dollars.
And freedom is beautiful.
On October 1st and 2nd, up to 6,000 students were sitting in at the administration building of the University of California and demonstrating around a trapped police car in protest of restrictions of their constitutional freedoms. Some of the speakers you are about to hear have not slept for 3 days. Their voices are cracked, their emotions are shaken. This is their story, taped live at the demonstrations.
We want to look at a part of the world that is growing up around us, the world particularly of the young in revolt, the world whose three R's, at least to many parents, seem now to stand for rock, riot, and rebellion. We want to look not at the quiet young who go their way and perhaps ours, but at the dissident and the dropout, at the student who rebels in college, at the boy who runs away, and at the girl who turns to drugs. At the sons and daughters who are in collision with the system, our system. This will be their story as they tell it, and out of all this, we hope to extract some explanation, some understanding of 1968 and the reason for young rebels.
program takes place against a background too familiar to need much going into. The American move into Cambodia, the various protests against that move, especially those by students, the reaction against those protests, the deaths at Jackson State and Kent State, the evidence of new division and distrust among the American people as a whole. All of this has led to increased discussion about where the country may be heading, and in particular about where some young people want to lead it. A related question has to do with our educational institutions and what they should be doing or should not be doing at a time like this.
Right here. Get set. Point. Fire.
I'm speaking now with Alan Canfora with the May 4th Center in Kent, Ohio. Can you tell us about the announcement your group is about to make to the public?
Yes, on May 1st, 2007, the Kent May 4th Center and the students of the May 4th Task Force at Kent State University, we're going to be making an announcement proving that in 1970 the Ohio National Guard was ordered to fire. There was a verbal command to shoot and kill unarmed students on May 4th, 1970.
For our listeners who may not be familiar with the Kent State shootings, can you just describe what happened in 1970?
Well, basically, the war in Vietnam, of course, was dragging on for years and years, and President Nixon was promising that he would end the war in Vietnam. But on April 30th, 1970, he surprised everybody by announcing that he was expanding the war from Vietnam into another country, into Cambodia. So the invasion of Cambodia sparked protests all across America, including in Kent, Ohio. The protests by the students culminated then with the shooting incident on Monday afternoon, May 4th, when the Ohio National Guard fired 67 gunshots during 13 seconds into our crowd of unarmed students. Four students were killed and nine were wounded, including me.
Now, tell us about the new evidence that's just been uncovered in the case of the Kent State shootings.
It's been a big mystery. We call it a murder mystery, and we've been investigating. And I was very shocked in recent months to discover an audio recording which clearly has the verbal command to fire, and I'll repeat the words which I discovered. At 12:24 p.m., just before the 13 seconds of gunfire, one of the commanding officers on the hilltop issued this verbal command. He shouted, "Right here, get set, point, fire." And then the gunfire ensues for 13 seconds.
Let's suppose that political leaders remain dilatory or resistant. What happens?
If they cannot address this in a credible way, I believe within perhaps 2 to 3 weeks we will have a meltdown in sovereign debt, which will produce a meltdown across the European banking system. We're not just talking about a relatively small Belgian bank. We're talking about the largest banks in the world, the largest banks in Germany, the largest banks in France. That will spread. It will spread to the United Kingdom, in part through sovereign debt problems in Ireland. It will spread everywhere because the global financial system is so interconnected. They are each counter, all those banks are counterparties to every significant bank in the United States and in Britain and in Japan and around the world. This would be a crisis that would be, in my view, more serious than the crisis in 2008.
Lord, is he exaggerating, Lord Myers?
I wish I could give a more cheerful complexion, but we're on the verge of a perfect storm. A number of European countries cannot raise money. Banks are therefore increasingly worried about the default. Therefore, people won't lend money to banks, and therefore banks won't lend money to business. So something has to be done, and has to be done substantially across the whole of Europe. If you do it individually, country by country, you should simply shift the focus from one country or one bank to another. That's why in October 2008 we obliged all the major UK banks to increase their capitalization.
We're often accused, journalists, of being apocalyptic, but this is an apocalypse, isn't it? I mean, this, what happened to the spirit of the G20?
Started off as a civilized protest outside Iceland's parliament on Saturday, quickly descended into mayhem as demonstrators began hurling eggs at MPs. Nearly 3,000 people, angry at housing taxes and government policies since the financial collapse, gathered in Reykjavik as MPs returned after the summer break.
This has been absurd. This is enough. Everything is going under. It is time they step aside. They have proved that they are incapable of doing anything.
The anger was palpable, with protesters doing anything to get heard. And as well as dairy products, they lobbed loo roll and smoke bombs, while police had to resort to using umbrellas to protect their targets. Included in their demands is the removal of inflation indexing on house loans. And protesters must have been doing something right, because the Prime Minister has since accepted a petition calling for its abolition.
The names of 120 British troops who've died in Afghanistan were read out as around 5,000 protesters descended on central London to demand an end to the war. 10 years on from the beginning of operations, musicians, activists and celebrities addressed the crowd in Trafalgar Square.
We're just here to keep a voice going and raise a voice against the continuing resort to taking up arms whenever there's a problem in the Middle East or the Far East or anywhere.
The protest was smaller than organisers Stop the War Coalition had hoped, but still saw some high-profile speakers, including Tony Benn and WikiLeaks' Julian Assange. After a series of speeches, the protesters marched towards Downing Street to deliver a petition to Prime Minister David Cameron, demanding that Britain pull out of the war, estimated to still be costing the country £12 million a day. Party rock is in the house tonight. Everybody just have a good time. And we gonna make you lose your mind. Everybody just have a good time. Party rock is in the house tonight. Everybody just have a good time. And we gonna make you lose your mind. We just wanna see you shake that. Every day I'm shuffling.
Bastion of the U.S. economy succumbs to pancreatic cancer. A man receives the first ever baboon face transplant. And this bowling birthday party enters its fifth agonizing hour. The future of news as we know it glows incandescently before you. This is the Onion Week in Review. A Rasmussen poll reveals that nearly all American voters share a deep fear of botching another election, with most voters admitting that selecting candidates for public office is something they're historically just not particularly good at.
I really hope I don't completely fuck things up as usual, but you never know, things do happen.
According to the poll, 3/4 of voters said Election Day panic would cause them to base their vote entirely on hearsay, while 93% acknowledged that they only recognized names of local candidates from signs along state highways. In Cedar Rapids, Iowa, stunned friends and acquaintances expressed shock and disbelief when a body found in the woods turned out not to be Justin. Local residents found the naked corpse draped over a tree stump Saturday, and as news spread, many found themselves struggling to comprehend how it wasn't Justin lying dead in the forest.
I heard the news, and I still can't come around to it. I just can't imagine that it's not Justin there lying dead in the woods. Are they absolutely sure it's not him?
Friends and family are still urging authorities to double-check the body, or at the very least, bring in Justin as a suspect. Between the fourth and fifth plates of his 10-course tasting menu dinner, Cole Strauss Media Group CEO Tom Byatt told a colleague that layoffs are necessary to keep the lights on.
Look, it's far from an ideal situation, but we have to cut corners somewhere. It's a reality of our business model. Excuse me, waitress?
Byatt justified the cutbacks shortly before the waiter arrived with a $110 bottle of Chateau Figeac. In science news, a new study finds a link between cancer and reading text on computer screens, adding that tumor development rates double when subjects also encounter moving video.
Party rock is in the house tonight. Everybody just have a good time. And we gonna make you lose your mind. Everybody just have a good, good, good time. Shuffling.
Here is formally and finally what Occupy Wall Street says and wants. It is, in essence, their special comment. As we gather together in solidarity to express a feeling of mass injustice, we must not lose sight of what brought us together. We write so that all people who feel wronged by the corporate forces of the world can know that we are your allies. As one people, united, we acknowledge the reality that the future of the human race requires the cooperation of its members, that our system must protect our rights, and upon corruption of that system, it is up to the individuals to protect their own rights and those of their neighbors, that the democratic government derives its just power from the people. But corporations do not seek consent to extract wealth from the people and the earth, and that no true democracy is attainable when the process is determined by economic power. We come to you at a time when corporations, which place profit over people, self-interest over justice, and oppression over equality, run our governments. We have peaceably assembled here, as is our right, to let these facts be known. They have taken our houses through an illegal foreclosure process, despite not having the original mortgage. They have taken bailouts from taxpayers with impunity and continue to give executives exorbitant bonuses. They have perpetuated inequality and discrimination in workplaces based on age, the color of one's skin, sex, gender identity, and sexual orientation. They have poisoned the food supply through negligence and undermined the farming system through monopolization. They have profited off the torture, confinement, and cruel treatment of countless animals and actively hide these practices. They have continuously sought to strip employees of the right to negotiate for better pay and safer working conditions. They have held students hostage with tens of thousands of dollars of debt on education, which is itself a human right. They have consistently outsourced labor and used that outsourcing as leverage to cut workers' health care and pay. They have influenced the courts to achieve the same rights as people with none of the culpability or responsibility. They have spent millions of dollars on legal teams that look for ways to get them out of contracts in regards to health insurance. They have sold our privacy as a commodity. They have used the military and police force to prevent freedom of the press. They have deliberately declined to recall faulty products, endangering lives in pursuit of profit. They determine economic policy, despite the catastrophic failures their policies have produced and continue to produce. They have donated large sums of money to politicians who are responsible for regulating them. They continue to block alternate forms of energy to keep us dependent on oil. They continue to block generic forms of medicine that could save people's lives or provide relief in order to protect investments that have already turned a substantial profit. They have purposely covered up oil spills, accidents, faulty bookkeeping, and inactive ingredients in pursuit of profit. They purposefully kept people misinformed and fearful through their control of the media. They have accepted private contracts to murder prisoners, even when presented with serious doubts about their guilt. They have perpetuated colonialism at home and abroad. They have participated in the torture and murder of innocent civilians overseas. They continue to create weapons of mass destruction in order to receive government contracts. To the people of the world, we, the New York City General Assembly, occupying Wall Street in Liberty Square, urge you to assert your power, exercise your right to peaceably assemble, occupy public space, create a process to address the problems we face, and generate solutions accessible to everyone. To all communities that take action and form groups in the spirit of direct democracy, we offer support, documentation, and all of the resources at our disposal. Join us and make your voices heard. The statement issued from Zuccotti Park by the General Assembly at Occupy Wall Street.
By the time you hear this, I will have already spiraled up. I would never do nothing to let you cowards mess me up. If I was you, I would duck or get struck by lightning. Fighters, keep fighting, put your lighters up, point them skyward, had a dream, I was queen. I woke up, still queen, rap games, cash cows, mine for the Mill King. So nobody even ever feels me, till it kills me. I swear I'll be the illest in this music that is all there ever will be. Disagree, feel free, but from now on I'm refusing to ever give up. Only thing I ever gave up's using, no more excuses. Excuse me if my head is too big for this building, and pardon me if I'm a cool chick, but you guys are slick. Popping this on how you flipped your life around, Crocker's bit. Who you people trying to kid flipped it? You did opposite, you stayed the same, cause star backwards is still raps, isn't it?
Remember that. I love it when I tell him shove it, cause it wasn't that long ago when Amy sat luster lack, lustered cause she couldn't cut mustard, luster up, nothing brain fuzzy cause she buzzing, woke up from that buzzing. Now you wonder why she does it, how she does it, wasn't cause she had buzzers circling around her head, waiting for her to drop dead, was it? Or was it cause the people wrote her off? Guess it doesn't matter now, does
this
it?
This one's for you and me, living out our dreams. We're all right where we should be. Lift my arms out wide, I open my eyes, and now all I wanna see is a sky full of lighters. Sky full of lighters.
The pepper spraying, or perhaps macing, of four women protesters at Occupy Wall Street took a new turn today when more video came to light, and on it quite clearly, a New York City policeman indicates that he too is a victim of that spraying, saying of the policeman, who was identified by the protesters as Officer Anthony Bologna, he just bleeping maced us. Our fourth story on the countdown, the peaceful protest, peaceful protesters, and almost totally peaceful police were amplified in the last 24 hours by the presence of big-name activists like Michael Moore and Susan Sarandon, but it was Saturday's unprovoked attack on four women penned in behind plastic netting, given no warning, unable to protect themselves against whichever caustic chemical was used against them, that again dominates the headlines with the new video coming to light.
By the time you hear this, I'll probably already be outie. I advance like going from toting iron to going and buying four or five of the homies, the Iron Man Audi. My daddy told me, slow down, hun, you going to blow it. But I ain't gotta stop the beat a minute to tell Shady I love him the same way that he did Dr. Dre on the chronic. Tell him how real he is, or how happy I am, or how I would kill for him to know it. I cried plenty tears, my daddy got a bad back, so it's only right that I write till he can march right into that post office and tell him to hang it up. Now his career's LeBron's jersey in 20 years. I'll stop when I'm at the very top. You did it on me on your way up. It's about to be a scary drop, cause what goes up must come down. You're going down on something you don't wanna see. Elevator stop, every hour happy hour now. Life is wacky now. Used to have to feed the cat, I put the claws out. I'm just a cat's meow, ow, cat-a-cow.
What has the police protester dynamic been like the last couple of days after that incident? Because everything we've heard so far has been, there was that, there were a couple of other incidents. The rest of it, the cops have been pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, it seems that the only incidences occur when some of the people leave Zuccotti Park, or as they're calling it, Liberty Plaza, mm-hmm. and go out and protest, either march up certain areas. Today, for instance, some of the people from Zuccotti Park actually went up and met up with the postal workers who were protesting the possible cutbacks, mm-hmm. of the post office. So, but for the most part, as far as I can tell, down in the park, it has been relatively calm. I actually saw some officers who were just going around taking pictures, wanted to see Susan Sarandon. were talking to the protesters, and because the protesters, I really think, yeah. Feel a kinship with the police down there.
This one's for you and me, living out our dreams. We're all right where we should be. Lift my arms out wide, I open my eyes, and now all I wanna see is a sky full of lighters. Sky full of lighters.
As I started seeing YouTube videos starting to come in with these images of people getting sprayed with pepper spray and stuff like that from the New York Police Department, I know that their policy, they don't use pepper spray on the crowd. That's one of their policies. So immediately I realized that something else was going on here, and we're seeing and we're hearing all these news stories about this sit-in that they're having in Occupy Wall Street. Well, I decided I'd go to Radio Reference and see if I could pull up the radio broadcast from the police during that time. So I started off with basically this, the Manhattan precincts. This is the one that's going to have everything if it was there. So we go into the archives, and you can get this if you have a subscription to these guys. And I don't make anything if you get a subscription, so don't think that I'm trying to pitch something. I'm not. Here's the feed archives. Now, I started with on the 30th, and we'll start back here on the 29th, and I'll just show you what usually would be up here. So we would have from 12 a.m. to, of course, 12 p.m. Then the next day, 12 to 12. Now, when you get here to the day that the 700 arrests were allegedly made, we see something a little bit different here. We got 12:10 a.m. is when it stops. That's the last feed that they put on here. So, and then comes back in the following day, which is today, at 2 p.m. So all yesterday, from 10 in the morning, all night until, and all day today, until 2 p.m., they've removed all the police broadcasts. So they only do this when they're doing drills, and they don't want you to know what's going on. Unless they have the X-Plan talks about them having their own frequency that they can use if they have a problem where they can't commandeer certain lines and certain radio frequencies. But in this case, they just basically knocked out all the archives for the Manhattan precincts. Now, if we go and look at the... we can also look at the special operations. Now, this one, when we look at the archives, we start again with the 30th. We see, of course, 12 o'clock. And then it goes up to 11 in the afternoon on the 30th, and then jumps till 7 p.m. at night. So Special Ops was setting up whatever they were going to do the following day, and we can hear some of the broadcasts where they're talking about putting up signs and things like that. They also refer to the event, the Manhattan financial district, where the people were supposedly having their protests, as parades. Now, if we look at the date that the 700 arrests were supposedly made on, there we go, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So, Special Ops did their thing the night before, and then the normal police have to deal with whatever they've set up the following day. And then they take all the chatter that goes on the radio, they take it out of the archives so nobody can listen to what's going on. But they left a few things in before it went out that are telltale signs of an X-Plan drill.
East 86th to Park, East 86th Street to Park Avenue, okay, for a traffic light. Time is now 8:17 hours. Units are responding to emergency incidents. Remember, arrive alive. Intersections are observed. Proceed with caution. Stop, look, and listen. Think tactically. Remember to always wear your seatbelt and control the intersection. Protect yourself and others. 35, open carrier. How are we frequency?
Here you go, Central. Hopefully, your north unit, shut the lights for the bridge. Shut the southern lights, please.
Nice touch with the communist star. Nice. Yeah, these look like riot police, I'm sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, since you have refused to leave this room...
Yeah, like any cop's gonna have his hands in his pocket when there's a angry mob in front of him. Reminds me of the Jefferson Monument fake dancing arrests. If you have a video camera that's getting knocked around and your audio comes out perfect, well then
get
yourself a really good video camera that nobody else has in this world, because any other video camera would have noise, wind sound, everything from getting knocked around. Now, if anybody tells you that this is real, then you can just tell them that I said they're lying. or they're just very foolish. Because anybody that watches this can tell that this is a staged drill. Look at the individuals up on the top of the rail. I mean, they're the spectators watching this whole thing. I mean, this is just ludicrous that they would even try to make this look real. Unbelievable. But I've saved the best for last. Watch this. So, where do you want me to stand again? Oh, on the spot that says police. Whew. Glad you put that there.
Today, Ted Baines is happy. He has a good job, a loving family, but Ted's life has been far from easy. Ted was born with a goddamn stupid-looking face.
Growing up, I was always trying to hide my face. I figured out pretty early that it made people irrationally angry.
I mean, even right now, it looks like you're smirking.
I'm not.
Ted says he's been denied jobs because employers assumed he's a smug, know-it-all prick. Ted was even hospitalized for 2 days after a woman in a department store pushed him down an escalator, saying that she couldn't help herself.
I spent a long time being very mad at my face.
Because of your stupid little mouth, those floppy little ears.
Yeah, I got called every name. Dick nose, idiot face.
Dumbo, uggo, ass face.
Mm-hmm, yep. And I would ask God, why me? But you know, at some point I realized I know I'm not a total dick and people will either accept me for me or not.
Alpha Dog, a warhorse for the 21st century. Anywhere soldiers can go on foot, LS3 or leg squad support systems can go too. The dynamic robot can carry up to 400 pounds of equipment and enough fuel for missions with a range of 20 miles and lasting up to 24 hours. There's no driver nor even any need for someone to lead this mechanized battle horse. Alpha Dog will automatically follow using computer vision or travel to designated locations using sensing and GPS. And it's no pushover, quite literally, withstanding the force of two people trying to knock it over. And it's self-righting, in the unlikely event it does get toppled. Science fiction becomes science fact next year when LS3 is set to be ready. And LS3's development is being funded by the US Department of Defense and the US Marine Corps. It's not the first amazing robot Boston Dynamics have come up with. Meet Rex and Rise. And Alpha Dog's little brother, Big Dog, who when he isn't pretending to be a bull or messing about in the snow or the mud, apparently likes nothing better than playing on the beach. Robots, eh?
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow and then the days got worse and worse and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha! You thought it was a joke, and so you laughed. You laughed when I had said that losing you would make me flip my lid. Right? You know you laughed, I heard you laugh. You laughed, you laughed, and laughed, and then you left. But now you know I'm utterly mad. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes. And they're coming to take me away, I cooked your food, I cleaned your house, and this is how you pay me back for all my kind, unselfish, loving deeds. Ha! Well, you just wait, they'll find you yet, and when they do, they'll put you in the ASPCA, you mangy mutt! And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, to the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket
weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes, and they're coming to take me away to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men.
When you start to tell people about the occult nature of the government, the nature of magic that they're dealing with, then all of a sudden magic gets thrown into this area of evil, and then, you know, everybody's turned to the Bible. And I don't want to do that either. I don't want to say one's good, one's bad. What I'm saying is that these guys are using a tool, a device, a method of science that we don't yet understand, but they do. And they want to turn it around and use it for their own forces. And so as an example, instead of you supplying your own divine future, you now seek a dollar bill. And the dollar bill is a magical pentacle. If you look at any seal of Solomon, any ancient book, grimoire of magic, you're going to see two seals combined with a binding agent. And so on the dollar bill, you, of course, got the eye in the pyramid with the phoenix, and it's 13s, and then the one in the middle. And this is the reason the dollar bill has never changed, as they changed all the other bills along the way. They never once changed the dollar. That's because it's their main pentacle, their main talisman. It has all their magical sigils on it. It's their symbol of power. And so this very power then has usurped our divine nature. So instead of seeking a miracle in your life, you believe the miracle comes from the money. And then this gives you the belief that you now control your future, because you can pay to have what you want. You can say, I'm going to do this in the future because I have this pentacle, I have this talisman, I can do what I want. And that really is a Luciferian belief system. And it's a false system because it doesn't exist. It's all controlled by these guys, the magicians, the money masters, those that have crafted money out of nothing.
Howard G. and Tally, Tim Jafar Kau, Tarpin M. Awif, Mu F, Tarif, Sam F, Minaminit F. Nebit, Hyatt Nebit, and then it's Nebit, Jeddah Fuit F, Awit F, Hasset, Samawu M.
And that's the first step to freedom. The first step to freedom within this gathering Orwellian world is to realize that we are in a gathering Orwellian world. Because once that realization comes, then we start to see the bars. We're no longer sitting in a cell without bars thinking we're free. We can start to see the bars. Once you see the bars, you can start to think, well, what do I do about it? And then the next thing, that we want to be free. That we don't want to be sheep anymore. That we want to take our minds back. That we want to have our own opinions and our own views, and not those that are bombarded at us daily through education and through the media and all the other sources of so-called information.
Why would you feel motivated to not accept that man is his own savior? I'm very interested in that. I'm very interested in as to why you, not the cult, not the clan, not your guru, why you would, you know, have a problem with that. What's in your psychology that has made you in the 20 years of your life, or the 25 years of life, or the 40 years of your life, not have enough brain cells to realize, my God, that's the bottom line? Because in my opinion, if you don't accept that, you are an insane person. You're not insane, you're unsane.
And the key to mass control is the manipulation of the imagination of ourselves.
That these people in control and the people who control the government are no friends of humanity. They do not even serve the countries that they appear to be in exactly the same way that the various royal families of history, you may be referring to them by Duke of Kent, Prince of Denmark, or the Prince of Greece, or Belgium, or the Kaiser of Germany, or the Tsar of Russia, and all of this kind of thing. But you see, that's actually, again, a misnomer, because none of these people really give a monkeys about the land or the nation that they rule. If they did, they wouldn't be sending their people to die in hideous wars down through the centuries. One of the greatest confusions is we think that these royal families actually have an allegiance to the various countries that they're in, including the British royal family being British. These individuals are a global one-world family dynastic concern that has their roots in Belgium, in Holland, in Italy, you see, and going back even before that. So they have no understanding of what you're talking about when you're saying nationhood. That's just for the public display. That's just for the flag wavers. These people are globalists. They've always been globalists. They are now the force behind the MEPs and the European Union, you know, the European Commission. They're pushing that as they always pushed it before. They were behind Adolf Hitler just as strong as anyone was.
Mm-hmm.
And they still remain in power today. And the thing that really is alarming is that they are in control of the American government. This is the problem. And that when you do have any kind of material or physical or economic meltdown, it's not by accident, it is by design, it is stage managed. You know, this is the key thing to remember also. It's not just freaks of nature that we have this constant influx of trauma, we have these constant recessions, we have this constant threat, you know, of outsourcing and all the rest of it. There's reasons behind this.
When most people think communism, it's all work, work, work in horrible conditions, whilst paintings of the party bosses watch down benevolently. But for the small town of Huxi in China's Jiangsu province, life is less gulag and more solid gold. Forget Monte Carlo and Cannes, this is believed to be the richest town in the world. It's reported that every single one of the town's 36,000 residents owns their own house, has at least one car parked in the driveway, and has $250,000 each, minimum. The town was founded 50 years ago by this man, Wu Renbao, the local Communist Party leader who critics say has created his own kingdom, but who's venerated as a near god by the workers he's made rich. And what better way to celebrate the settlement's 50th birthday than with a subtle and sedate 328-metre skyscraper, topped with a giant gilt ball and containing a one-ton solid gold bull. Okay, so the town could be accused of being a little crass, but when you own a multi-billion dollar steel and textile empire and attract more than 2 million visitors a year, you can be forgiven for splashing out a little.
you like being a participant in the watering can of the flowers of freedom throughout the world?
New information on a mysterious light spotted over the water at Flagler Beach that some people thought was a plane crash.
Now it's starting to look like that was not the case. West 2's Kara Moore spoke with witnesses about what they saw.
The Coast Guard searched the waters here along Flagler Beach for hours overnight, looking for any signs of a possible plane crash. We now know what everyone saw late last night in the sky was not a plane after all.
Kind of flame trail.
Bunky Blumenfeld was walking along Flagler Beach late Tuesday night when something in the sky appeared to be on fire. He watched as it disappeared into the ocean.
I've never seen anything quite like it. A plane would be the first thing that I would think it would be.
The Coast Guard began searching the water around 11:45 Tuesday night and worked well into the morning, searching by boat and helicopter for any signs of wreckage. Nothing was found, and by 8:30, the Coast Guard called off the search. So what was it that everyone saw?
A strange sighting off the coast of Flagler County. Calls from witnesses flooded into the police station after people reported seeing this ball of light. A viewer sent us this photo, and the Coast Guard immediately began searching and trying to figure out if it was a plane that crashed.
But the FAA says it wasn't a plane because there were none flying in that area. We sent Action News' Erica Bennett to find out what fell from the sky.
This is near the exact area where folks saw a fiery ball come crashing from the sky last night. Today, after a thorough search, folks still don't know what exactly that was. A giant flame like the one in this picture has Flagler Beach buzzing. The problem is no one can identify it. In fact, no one knows if this picture is even real. But police say the calls were.
Kind of a little controversy there. One said it was too big for a flare and it could have been a plane.
Flagler Beach Police Chief Dan Cody says phone lines started blowing up shortly after 11 p.m. He told the Coast Guard about the reports and a search got underway.
They called me and notified that they saw a large flash in the sky, had about 25 people had told one of the officers.
We got this picture from a friend of someone on the beach last night. Some witnesses think it was a plane, but according to the FAA, there were none on radar at the time. Others watched from this deck at Finn's restaurant when the object struck the ocean.
Pretty much have a 360-degree view of anything that's going on.
General Manager Grant Tarpley says people released Chinese lanterns around the same time as the reports. He himself has seen the lanterns used on the 4th of July, but doesn't know if that's what was in the sky last night. No one knows, and for now, it will stay that way.
One of the many mysteries.
Although this seems like a closed case, the Flagler Beach Police Department says the Coast Guard may give the area one more search before completely suspending efforts.
Now, go find the others. .com.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.